Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to Quote Me, a weekly podcast that seeks to encourage, inspire, and lift you up to be all you were created to be. Words are powerful. Recognizing and celebrating the impact they have on our lives can comfort or challenge us, or both at once. I'm your host, Lindsay Schlegel, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, I hope we can honor the truth, beauty, and goodness of well-chosen language, and so glorify God. Let's begin.
October is a lot of things. It's the month of my wedding anniversary, it's the month of the rosary, and it's Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. Today, I want to share with you something that a friend said to me when, almost 7 years ago, I lost my second child to miscarriage. So that's what this episode is going to be about. And if you are not in a place where you want to talk about miscarriage or you want to hear someone's story, if you've experienced it, or someone, even if someone close to you has experienced it, there's a time and a place, and everyone comes to healing and to grieving and mourning in their own way. So if this is a time for you that my story can be helpful, then please continue to listen. And if this isn't the right thing for you to be listening to right now, then I hope you enjoy the next episode, and I'll talk to you soon. So in 2012, I went for a 12-week ultrasound with my second child. We'd gone for a 9-week ultrasound, and we saw a happy little bean with a heartbeat, and we were just thrilled. My older son, Jacob, was, 15 months old. We were so excited to grow our family. The first pregnancy had been very much uneventful. I was healthy. John was healthy. It seemed like it was just all good news. I went for another routine ultrasound, the 12-week, while John was on a flight home from Hong Kong, which seemed like it would be fine. Again, nothing had gone wrong. I still felt sick. I started wearing maternity pants, which are a glorious invention, and I thought everything would be fine. So my friend in Brooklyn watched Jacob, and I went in for the ultrasound. And during the ultrasound, I was talking to the baby. I could see something on the screen, but it wasn't until much later that I registered that there was a flat line at the bottom of the screen. The tech did what they could. I say they because I can't remember if it was a man or a woman. They called someone else in. I think they called a doctor in. I think there was someone training there that day. And they said they asked me a couple questions about my blood pressure. I don't remember a couple questions, but everything was fine. I'm still lying there talking to the baby. Everything seems great. I'm so excited to see the baby again. And after a little while, one of the techs came back in and told me, I'm so sorry, but we can't find a heartbeat. And I was stunned. Because what do you do with that? They were very gracious. They said, we're going to give you a report. You'll call your doctor. We're really sorry. And so they left to go get the report. And I was in the little room by myself. And I felt, I don't know how to say it, but I sensed this voice telling me, it's okay. It's not your fault. you didn't do anything wrong. I don't remember exactly what the words were. You didn't do anything. And I was still just so stunned. I didn't know. I was crying, but not like a big, ugly sob kind of crying. That came later. This was like a, what? What do you mean? I called my parents. I had to wait for John to come home. My parents came into Brooklyn and we ate burgers and watched my big fat Greek wedding. My mom helped me get Jacob into bed and John came home. He had brought me chocolate from the plane because we just read some study that said that eating chocolate during pregnancy led to healthier babies down the line, which I was all in for because I was going to eat chocolate anyway. And I remember he gave me this chocolate and he said it was for the baby, and my parents kind of probably were just holding in tears and quietly left the apartment, and I had to tell John that our baby didn't have a heartbeat and I didn't know what we were going to do. We had to go see the doctor next day. That's a story for another podcast or two, not for today. We told everyone. We told basically everyone we knew that we were expecting. It's interesting, a few weeks before, John and I were just talking about kind of the convention of waiting until 12 weeks or 13 weeks after the first trimester to tell people that you were pregnant. And I told him, you know, if that were ever to happen to us, I would want everyone to know because I would want people to be able to support us and pray for us. And it was hard as it would be to have to tell people we're pregnant. I felt like it would be harder to say, I was pregnant and now I'm not. For some reason, I thought this would be easier. And that's the way it turned out to be. I didn't expect it. I didn't anticipate it. I had no reason to expect it, really. But that's what we did. I went to the email we'd sent out to all our friends with our little Jacob in a too big, awesome Big Brother t-shirt. And I told everyone that our baby was gone. And people responded in different ways. People wrote me emails. Some people called right away. A couple of people called right away. People responded in different ways over time. And there were a couple. I mean, I've spoken with a lot of women who have had miscarriages at this point because it's been very easy for me to talk about it in a public way. I wrote about it on a blog that I had at the time, youngmarriedmom.com. Those posts are still up. You'll find them under Dear Ethan. We named him Ethan. I also ended up starting a miscarriage support group within my parish. So I've heard a lot of stories of other women's experiences with miscarriage. And there are a lot of things that people say that are well-intentioned, but can hurt pretty badly. And I think before I had had a miscarriage, it's possible that I would have said some of those things too. I think people are looking, and any time when someone has lost someone and someone's grieving or mourning, you want, as wordy, obviously, as verbose as I am, loquacious, I guess, as I am, you want to say something. You want to give something to that person who's hurting, especially if it's someone close to you, someone you love very dearly. You want to offer them something. You know you can't fix it, but you want so desperately to do something to make it better. And some of these things, I think, just come out of our mouth because we're nervous and we don't know what to say. Things like, well, you're still young, or you can have another, or, something was probably wrong. It's probably better this way. God has a plan. He knows what he's doing. Yeah, God does have a plan. He does know what he's doing. But to belittle the experience of that loss, to belittle the dignity of the child's life that is lost. I firmly believe that when a miscarriage happens, a woman does not lose the potential of being a mother, or the prospect of being a mother. She has lost a child. Because when a child is conceived, a human exists, and it has a soul, and it has a mother, and it has a father. I say it only because this applies to he and she. But every child is a he or a she. And everyone has a mom and a dad, and there are grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins, and the loss extends to all of those people. So what in the world do you say in this situation, this painful situation, which at various stages is different, but I think it's dangerous and not really helpful to say when it would be worse. Well, you weren't so far along. Well, you didn't see the baby yet. You hadn't felt the baby yet. Those things don't help. So what does help? The point of all this is to share with you something that my friend Elizabeth called and said to me just a few days after the miscarriage. We had been out and I was buying boots because I didn't know what else to do with myself. So we went to the shoe shop and there was a sale and I bought boots. And I still have them and I think of them as my Ethan boots and I will probably never get rid of them just because I just can't. And John was with me with Jacob, but Jacob had gotten kind of antsy. It was dinner time. And so he took him back to our apartment and I finished buying these boots. And on the way home, I looked at my phone and there was a voicemail I'd missed from my friend Elizabeth. And I don't know if it's her training as a counselor or the fact that she's just a wonderfully compassionate and fabulous human being, but she left me a voicemail that said, "Lindsay, I'm so sorry for your loss. Your child was so lucky that you and John were his parents because I know how much you loved him." And it just occurred to me, that's what you say to people. That is what you say in this super challenging, so hard to navigate situation. You say something that acknowledges the child for being a child and the parents for being parents. And some of this, of course, you need to keep in mind if you're trying to be there for a friend in this situation. Everyone's different, and obviously I can talk about my miscarriage on a podcast that will go out to who knows how many people. I wrote an article about it on Verily that ended up getting over 12,000 hits. I've written about it in my book, Don't Forget to Say Thank You. I actually had to restrain myself from making too many chapters about Ethan. But the fact is he's had an incredible impact on our family, and he's led me to relationships and to ways of serving God that I would not have had on my own. My kids recognize that Ethan is their brother. They know that they have someone waiting in heaven for them, that they have someone interceding for him. We ask him to help us look for things when we've lost them because of another mom at church a few years ago who told me that she asks the children she lost in miscarriage to help her find things. And she said her kids had helped her and her husband find a lost set of keys. Well, I've got one better. A few years ago on vacation, my husband lost his wedding ring in the ocean because one of the kids was holding onto his finger and jumped over a wave, and a combination of sand and sunscreen and water meant that his ring went into the Atlantic Ocean. I'm not going to tell the whole story here because we don't have time for it today, but through a series of Craigslist posts and phone calls and interactions with lifeguards, a kind of unbelievable chain of events once we put all the pieces together. There was no other explanation. It was miraculous that my husband has his wedding ring back on his finger. We know it's his. It has an inscription inside. This is all to say that the children we lose in miscarriage, in pregnancy, loss, in stillbirth, are real. They have the dignity that every single other one of us has. Sorry, that syntax was bad. You know what I'm trying to get to. And if we're going to really be pro-life, if we're really going to accept that every person is created in the image and likeness of God, then we need to honor the parenthood of people who have lost children. And we need to acknowledge that all of us are people. We are all beloved by God. We are all created by Him to love and to be loved. And so if when this happens, because unfortunately miscarriage happens to, 15 to 20%, 10 to 20% of known pregnancies end in miscarriage. It happens a lot. And some people aren't ready to talk about it. Some people don't want to talk about it. Some people want to talk about it only within smaller circles. I'm obviously not one of those people. And I hope that my story help someone else find comfort. If you have lost a child, your child is blessed because you were his or her parent. Even if you were surprised by the pregnancy, even if you didn't feel like you were ready for it and you didn't have time to quite process everything before your baby was gone, that doesn't mean you didn't love. And I would encourage you to ask for your child's intercession when you are struggling with something, even when you are sad, sometimes it hits me, the grief, 7 years later, the grief still hits me sometimes. And I say, Ethan, mommy is hurting right now. Can you help me? And it does help. There's a lift. There's something real because I still have a relationship with this child that I never saw face to face, that I never saw draw a breath, that I never held in my hands. Knowing that he's there. So the Catholic Church doesn't explicitly say what we don't know exactly what happens to miscarried children, but we do know that that they're sinless and that they are pure. And so I think we can trust. I don't see any reason not to ask for them to be there for us, to help our families, to help us grow in holiness, and when things are hard, to help guide us back to the purpose that we have and that we acknowledge and want to live, to get to heaven, to live this life well, to honor and serve God. So if you are one of these parents who's in this very unfortunate club with me, my heart goes out to you. My prayers go out to you. I hope the things that you see and hear this month of pregnancy and infant loss awareness encourages you and strengthens you and lets you know that you are not alone. If you're looking for resources, I have some on my old blog, Young Married Mom. You can look up miscarriage resources there. There's a couple of books I found that have been really helpful. After Miscarriage by Karen Edmiston, and a book a friend told me about called, I believe it's called Blessed is the Fruit of Thy Womb. I will put both links in the show notes as well as the link to my book. I talk about Ethan and how he truly is part of our family and how that has helped me to grow. I think there is no single experience in my life that has drawn me closer to God than being his mom, even though it meant loss and it meant suffering. At this distance, I can see what a gift it was, and I'm grateful for him. So thank you so much for listening to this kind of heavier, but I hope helpful episode of Quote Me. If you'd like to suggest a quote or a guest, you can send me an email. You can contact me at my website, lindseyschlegel.com. Please also follow the show on Instagram. The page is quoteme_podcast. For each episode, I've been posting an image, like a graphic of the quote too, that I hope you can find useful. Maybe you can, save it as your lock screen on your phone or something like that. Find a way to bring these words into your life and share them with others. If you enjoy this episode, please subscribe, leave a review wherever you find your podcasts, and tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of my podcasts here at Breadbox Media, but today I'm speaking to you about a different opportunity. In September 2020, I'll be leading a fantastic pilgrimage cruise from Rome to the Holy Land, and then on the way back, stopping at the cities of St. Paul, Ephesus, Athens, Corinth, and more. While we're at sea, I'll be lecturing on the Gospels, history or mystery. When we're on land, I'll invite you to join me as we visit all of the holy sites, celebrating Mass, worshiping together, and having a wonderful time of fellowship. If you'd like to know more about this pilgrimage cruise, go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com. Go to the right sidebar, and you'll see a picture there, which invites you to get more information. Go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, right sidebar, click on the picture of the cruise ship, and you'll get all the information you need. Alternatively, you can call the company that's organizing the tour at 800-247-0017. 800-247-0017. Ask for Father Longenecker's Cruise to the Holy Land. Thanks for listening.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.